Oh, can you hear me all right? That was a bit emotional, wasn't it? I wasn't expecting that. Thanks for the... I'm going to miss two, you know. But I won't miss something specific that he makes me do in the office sometimes, which is press-ups. You know, he took me to the gym a few times as well, and I won't miss that either. Because as you can see, I'm not really built for gym work. I'm not really built for press-ups. You know, Stu just looks at a weight and his arm goes I take about 11 years of pumping iron and my arm just still looks like the arm of a 12-year-old girl. No. So I won't miss that, but I will miss a lot of other things. Because we have had an awesome time in the office. We've, you know, told many of our students about Jesus, and I've followed Stu's lead in that. And Stu's taught me one important lesson, actually, a really important lesson, to totally rely on God for absolutely everything. He's a man who does that, Stuart. And I pray to be a person like that who relies totally on God. And that's what I'm speaking on today. I was given Romans chapter 8 to speak on this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 30. And these four verses, help us to realize that we're totally and utterly dependent upon God. Everything that we have, all that we are as Christians, is absolutely nothing to do with us. Don't know if you realize that. It's absolutely nothing to do with you and what you do. It's all to do with God and what he does. So I believe that God's been speaking this morning. Have you heard what he's saying? To look at him, to focus on him. Wow, maybe God knew what I was going to preach about this morning. Interesting, isn't it? God is with us and he's speaking to us. So should we ask him to speak to us? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you're with us and you're for us and you're not against us. Thank you, Lord, that you've got a plan and a purpose for every single person in this room. Just like you got a plan and a purpose for every single person outside those windows in the world. You have a plan and a purpose for our lives, and it begins with us coming to you. So Lord, I pray you'd speak to us this morning, encourage us, challenge us, grow us, Lord, in our faith and our utter dependence on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I'm not used to having my hands free, actually, because we have a microphone in Redcar that you always have to hold, but it's a lot better. When I first started preaching, these guys used to take the mick out of me for just standing like this and preaching, because I've got really long arms, and they come down almost to my knees. And I feel that if I use them, I might hit something, so I'm always... So apologies for doing that. So let's read this for ourselves. You know, there's three W's actually in what we read I want you to see. Three W's of God I want you to see. The first W in these four verses is God's will. It's about God's will, not ours. God's will, not ours. Let's read the first couple of verses. So this is Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, that's us, in accordance with whose will? God's will. In accordance with God's will. You know, do you ever feel like you're weak? Do you ever feel like you may be weak physically or weak emotionally? Maybe something happened in your life and it's made you feel quite weak emotionally. Or do you ever feel weak spiritually? The truth is that you and I are pretty weak in many ways. And one of those ways is spiritually. This is what it says. This is what Paul is alluding to. The Spirit, though, the Holy Spirit, is here to help us in our weakness. So maybe you feel weak. Maybe you feel like, I can't do it. I can't do it, Lord. Well, that in itself is a good prayer to pray. I can't do it. Can you just take over, please, Lord? Because I can't actually do it. That's a great prayer. Jesus commended a man for praying like that, didn't he? There was a man, there was two guys standing together in the temple. One was a Pharisee, a religious leader. One was just a normal guy. Jesus commended the normal guy because he just said, have mercy on me because I'm a sinner. Oh, that's a prayer in itself. When you recognize your own weakness before God, it's kind of a good prayer. Jesus did that, didn't he? Jesus, when he was so overcome with what he was going to have to face, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, he basically said, I can't handle this, Lord. I can't handle it. Is there another way? Is there a way out? Is there a different way of doing it? When he saw what he was going to have to go through, the agony of being separated from God as he took our sins upon him, as he was face to face in that, he said to God, not my will, but yours be done. Interesting, isn't it? Even Jesus was weaker at that point. It's important that we recognize our weakness, brothers and sisters, before God. Because by recognizing that we're weak, we're saying to God, please can you do it? Please can you take over? Even in our prayers, even when we pray, God wants us to recognize how weak we are. God wants us to say, please can you take over? Please can your will be done? The thing is though, we're pretty weak because we don't know what to pray, do we? I don't know if you've ever had an experience of starting to pray and not knowing what to do. Sometimes we have a list of things to pray for and we do that list and we realize, this is pants and dead. Do you ever do that? Get up and pray in the morning and I've got this list of things to pray for. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Pants! Where are you, God? But the Bible says this. Paul says this elsewhere to the Ephesians. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. All occasions, not just every now and then, but on all occasions, pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. If our prayers are not in the Spirit, brothers and sisters, they're pretty naff prayers. They're not going to work. They're not going to be according to God's will unless we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Holy Spirit, help us. Show me what to pray this morning. I can't stand another day of going through my list of things to pray for. Please, can you show me your will, God? Show me what to pray for. You know, we can't see into the future, can we? Sometimes we have a prophetic kind of moment where we can see a little bit into the future, but we can't really often see into the future, can we, if we're honest with ourselves? But God can. And we don't really know what's best for us, do we? I don't know about you, but I don't really know what's best for me. My kids don't know what's best for them. You know, if my little son, Gabriel, who's 2 years old, comes up to me and says, can I play with this carving knife? I'm not going to say, yeah, go ahead, go on. No, because that wouldn't make me a very good father. It's similar with us. You know, sometimes we pray for things and we're just praying for them because we think they're the right thing, but actually, maybe they're not going to be good for us. Maybe they're going to cause us harm. We need Holy Spirit to interpret our prayers for us to God. We need Holy Spirit to be our filter, to guide us in what to pray and to interpret what we say to God. I wonder if you've ever tried to pray without the Holy Spirit, it is dead. I want to encourage you, when you pray, make sure that you ask Holy Spirit to help you. You know, John said, 1 John 5, verse 14. John says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God hears us. Maybe you've prayed a lot of different prayers in your life as a Christian, and maybe you think that God isn't listening. Well, maybe he is listening, but maybe he's just not answering those prayers because they're not right. Not right for you. It's easy for us to fight against God when we're not getting the answers that we seek. It's easy for us to question God and say, why are you not answering this prayer when we don't get an immediate answer? You know, it's like when you're on your computer and suddenly something happens and there's that little, if you've got a Windows computer, there's that little egg timer thing. The light goes up and down and you think, come on, hurry up, flipping egg, you're taking ages. We can be like that with our prayers sometimes. Can't we? on an Apple Mac, it's like this weird little circle that goes round and round. It's even more annoying. You're like, come on. Come on, computer. We can be like that with God, can't we? Impatient with God. But God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be patient, and he wants us to totally rely on him and on the Holy Spirit. You know, Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, you know, awesome evangelist Billy Graham, preached the gospel for many, many decades until he died at the age of 99 last year. Ruth Graham said this. She said, God has not always answered my prayers. If he had, I'd have married the wrong man several times. Interesting, isn't it? That God doesn't always answer our prayers because his will is the best for us. The best prayer you can pray is not my will, but yours be done. You know, I was reading a little bit this morning about Martin Lloyd-Jones and a bit of his teaching on prayer. It's interesting. I mean, he says we need to recognize when we pray in the flesh. Recognize that when you're just praying because you're doing it out of habit, you're just going through your list. And repent of it. Say, sorry, God, for not trusting you and not asking Holy Spirit to come and help me with this prayer time. It's not about how many words we use in our prayers and how eloquent they are. It's not about how many biblical verses you use in your prayers. It's not even about how long you stand praying. It is about whether Holy Spirit is leading your prayers, brothers and sisters. That is what it's about. God's will is much more important than ours. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, to be free in our time with God when we pray, to be free of restrictions, and to obey the Holy Spirit as he prompts us, to catch what he wants us to pray. You know, when we're driving to Redcar in the morning, often me, Georgia, our eldest daughter, and our Tabitha, who's 5, Georgia's 10, Tabitha's 5, and Grandad Mac, you know, we pick him up on the way, and Stacy goes, she takes her other kids. You know, when you've got a big family, the best way is to divide and conquer, I find. So we're driving to Redcar, me and the girls and Grandad Mac, and at one point we turn onto Majuba Road, and the sea is like there, right in front of you, driving like literally about 50 meters from the sea. It's absolutely awesome. But in the sea in Redcar are these massive wind turbines. Don't know if you've ever seen them. There's like, seems like hundreds, it's not hundreds, but there's like 30 maybe. Massive wind turbines, and they really look quite close. And, you know, when I looked at one of those the other day, I was just looking at it, thinking, wow, it's absolutely massive. And then our Georgia or Tabitha, I can't remember which, said to me, Daddy, is there a little man in that wind turbine who like presses the button so that it turns? And I said, no, there isn't. There isn't a little man. And she says, well, how does it work then? It's massive. How does it work? And I said, are those wind turbines, they're built so that they just stay there and catch the wind. And then they catch the wind, and it turns into energy, and that energy turns into electricity. And she was like, no way. And I said, yeah, that's what happens. And that's what happens with us, isn't it? You know, I often look at those wind turbines and think, there's 3 of those blades. Reminds me of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. We need all 3 in our lives in order to pray. We need to recognize that when we pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ, but by the Holy Spirit. We need to catch what Holy Spirit wants us to pray and has for us to pray. You know, another thing this Martin Lloyd-Jones says is to plead with holy boldness and obey our impulse to pray. And I read this story about this man once who was a UPS driver. Do you know what UPS is? Like a delivery company in America, and it's here now. It's a brown truck with those guys in really naff brown uniforms. And he was telling this story about, he was a Christian guy, and he was working all night delivering parcels. And he was driving home, and it was like really early in the morning. It was 4:30 in the morning. And the journey was really far. You know, in America, to get anywhere, you have to drive for absolutely miles, don't you, to get anywhere. It's not like England, when we think an hour is like miles. In America, like 5 hours is like a normal trip down to somewhere, you know. But he was driving, it was really early in the morning, he's been up loads of hours, and he was absolutely shattered, and he was falling asleep at the wheel, which is very dangerous to do, falling asleep at the wheel. And he knew it was dangerous, and he knew that was what was happening, but he was so desperate to get home that he really didn't want to stop. And then suddenly, he says, it's like he blinked, and he was on his drive at home. He was sat in his truck on his driveway at home, and the time said 6:30 in the morning. And he thought, thanks God. And he went into his house. But get this, his wife was already awake. And he was surprised because she usually got up about 8 in the morning or something like that. And she said, hi, you love, how are you? You all right? Do you have a nice trip? And he said, yeah, what are you doing up? Are you all right? Is everything all right? She said, yeah, about 4:30 this morning, I suddenly woke up and I had this real impulse, this burden to pray for you, to pray for your safety on the road as you drove back. Isn't that awesome? Isn't God amazing? It's important that we don't ignore those impulses to pray, brothers and sisters, but listen to the Holy Spirit. Not just about what he wants us to pray, but even when he wants us to pray. Don't be too rigid, will you, and say, right, this is my prayer time, this is the time I'm praying right now. Nothing wrong with that, really, but don't be too rigid with it, will you? Make sure that you pray when God wants you to pray, because often we don't know what God's will is, do we? Something could be happening that we have no idea about that God wants us to pray for. So this is what Paul is saying here. So let's carry on. Let's carry on to the second part of this. This is where it gets a little bit theological. So the second part is verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Wow. In all things, God works. The second W is works. Christianity is about God's works, not ours. It's about God's will, not ours. It's about God's work, not ours. You know, it's very tempting to think sometimes, oh yeah, I prayed for that, and I got it. Way me. Just because I prayed, I got it, I received it. No, that's not true. Because you prayed, God decided to answer. Actually, all of Christianity is like that. All of this is actually about something very theological called the application of the doctrine of redemption. Why don't you turn to the person say to you, next to you, and say, this is the application of the doctrine of redemption. Redemption. I can't even say it. You don't have to do that, really. But God is totally at work in our salvation, isn't he? There's an order of our salvation that's very theological. We won't go through it, but Paul goes through a little bit of it at the end of this passage, so we'll go through in a minute. But there's an order of our salvation. In all of the order of that salvation, it's all God's work. It's not ours. We're redeemed by God. From what? From sin, from the fall of man, which happened, you can read about in Genesis 3. Did God know that was going to happen? Yeah. Did he have a plan for it? Yeah. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the one who did all the work on the cross. Jesus is the one who made a way where there was no way for us into the presence of God. Jesus is the reason why we can go before God boldly and pray. You know, when you pray, you actually walk into the throne room of God if you're a Christian, because the door to that throne room has already been opened for you by Jesus Christ. I often think of it as, you know, God's amazing grace is like walking into an ice cream shop and, you know, God is at the counter with lots of different ice cream. Who loves ice cream? Yay, four of you. God is there at the counter. He's got lots of different ice cream, all the different ice cream you can ever imagine. Even lemon tops are there from Redco. And, you know, you can just say to God what you want. And if he wants to give you it, he will. I mean, it's pretty awesome. But you know, the way into that ice cream shop is by the door of Jesus Christ, by what Jesus achieved on the cross. We're able to enter into the presence of God only through Jesus. I just want to read to you a little bit about something that struck me from the Old Testament that shows that it really highlights God's work. So I want to read to you from a little bit quickly from something awesome that God did with the Israelites. And you probably know about it. God led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt into the desert. And then he did something phenomenally awesome. They were hemmed in on every side. They couldn't go anywhere. They were right at the sea, at the Red Sea. And you know the story. The Egyptians were chasing them in hot pursuit of them, because they were chasing them, they wanted to catch them and bring them back, I don't know, maybe kill them all. But there was 2 million Israelites, they reckon, okay, led by a man called Moses. And Moses was quite a weak man, we're told. He didn't have a gift of speaking publicly, really. He had to get Aaron, his brother, to speak for him. And God gave him this staff, and he did some things with his staff in order to enable the Israelites to be freed of that place of Egypt and to come out of Egypt. But then God told him to do something really crazy. He said, just put out your staff over the Red Sea. And you know the story. The sea divided and the Israelites walked across the Red Sea, and their enemies who were chasing them were completely lost in that sea. Let me read you something about that story. It's absolutely amazing. So Pharaoh and the Egyptian army was chasing them. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." They're pretty terrified, aren't they, at this point? They're pretty scared. This is how Moses answers them, though. Are you ready for this? Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Wow. This is the awesome work of God for us as well. You know, sometimes like the Israelites in the desert, we're terrified, aren't we? We're scared of things. We're fearful of things. But if we don't look to what's happening around us, as we were singing, and as Lowry said at the beginning, if we don't look at our circumstances and our situation, but if we choose instead to look at God, if we choose instead to lift our eyes to where our help comes from, which actually isn't from anyone else but God, then we will find peace. Then we will know God's will for our lives. Then we will realize that he's actually got a purpose for us, and he wants us to walk in that purpose. You know, if we trust God as our loving Father, then we should be able to accept every hardship and difficulty that we go through. If we actually really live as Christians are intended to, and do what it says here, and really love God with all of our heart, and all of our body, and all of our mind, and all of that, if we really do, then we should have no problem when the storms of life hit us, when bad things happen to us, when we undergo hardships and difficulties. We should have no problem. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're in some hardship or difficulty, if you're suffering right now, why don't you do what Lowry shared this morning and lift your eyes to the hills? Because you're not going to get help from anyone else but God. And maybe God has sent the trouble that's in your life. Have you ever thought of that? Maybe God has sent the hardship in order to do something in your life, in order to change you in some way, in order to build you into the person that he wants you to be, because he has a purpose for you. This scripture, this verse 28, is about all things working together for the good of those who love God. Maybe you don't love God yet. Maybe you're in here thinking, what the heck is this ginger guy talking about? Well, know this, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and it starts with you trusting him through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I want to encourage you this morning, if you are a Christian and you've been struggling with something and fighting against it, why don't you stop fighting this morning? If only you could be still. The Lord will fight for you. That's a word for us this morning, I think. We have to remind ourselves of that with our son, Nathaniel, who is very difficult because he's quite severely autistic. He doesn't really communicate with us. He still wears nappies. He runs off at every opportunity and doesn't recognize any danger. He has seizures sometimes. He can't tell us how he's feeling. It's very difficult. Very difficult kind of time and period for us because he's getting stronger and he's getting more frustrated and he's refusing to do stuff more. It's very hard for us as a family. We can't do the things other families can do. We can't go to the places other families can just be free in. Now, we have to always be aware. Our poor girls have to always do what our Nathaniel needs rather than what they want. It's a difficult, difficult thing. But you know what? We got to the point of realizing for the past 5 years we've been struggling with this. And only relatively recently we've realized that actually, God is in it. God is in this. God is doing something in this, and we don't actually know what it is. We don't know what it is, but God is doing something because he has a plan and purpose for us. And if we keep trusting in him, I believe that he is going to heal Nathaniel. I believe that he is going to establish our church in Redcar, and it's going to be a place that's going to be a blessing, going to be a blessing to families like ours. We really believe that. There's 600 families like ours in the Teesside area, in this one little group that we know of. Maybe there's more. But we know that God has a plan for those families, and he's going to use us in it. I mean, we're absolutely blessed by that. I want to encourage you to not focus on the trouble and the hardship that you're in, but trust God in all of it. In Jesus' name. Just got 3 or 4 more hours. You're right with that. No. Final things are the final of 2 verses, verses 29 and 30 here from Romans 8. So we've looked at God's will, not our will, God's work, not our work. The third W is God's wisdom. It's God's wisdom, not our wisdom. This is what Paul says. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Wow. So this is about that travelator that we're on. You know, I said earlier, we're in a process of redemption, the application of the doctrine of redemption. We're in this process, okay. We're actually on a highway you can read about in Isaiah 35. There's a highway called the Highway of Holiness, and it says that the redeemed are on it. They're on it. Have you ever been to a big airport like Schiphol in Amsterdam? If you've ever been to Estonia, you might have been there. It's a massive airport. So you fly out from Teesside, which is like flying out of your living room. Tiny, isn't it? And then you get to this massive place where there's like hundreds and thousands of, well, not thousands, but hundreds of gates, all right? And it's massive. It's like the biggest in Europe, I think, isn't it? Schiphol Airport. It's massive. But they have these really helpful things because it's massive. The Dutch are really clever and they design things to help you. So they have these travelators that are like flat escalators. Have you ever seen them? And you just step on one and then whoo, you're going. Faster than you can possibly walk or run, really, unless you're really fast at running. But you just step on, and you can walk if you want, you know, and you'll be really quick then if you walk. But you can, if you want to, just get on it and just put your bag down and just wait until you get to the end of it and then step off it and walk a few steps and get on the next one. It's brilliant. I love it. It's awesome, that, being able to do that. Do you know that as Christians we should be doing that? We should be trusting in God's unraveling of our redemption in our life. Because we haven't received it all yet. We've received a lot of it, but we haven't received it all yet, what God has for us. You know that one day, as it says at the end here, as Paul says at the end here, we're going to be glorified. Huh? Yeah, this is about us being glorified. We're going to be glorified with Jesus. Jesus is now, right now, sitting in heaven with his resurrection body, in his resurrection body, right now, sitting at the right hand of God. Do you know that? Jesus really was raised from the dead, and he was given a resurrection body. This is why the disciples didn't recognize him, because he looked different, because he had this new body that was different. Oh, one day we're going to get a new body. Who would like a new body? Yay! Can I show a little clip? Is that all right, brother? Are you ready? Isn't Jonathan awesome? Should we give him a round of applause? Yay! Whoa. That was quite manly, wasn't it? Yay! Bob's clapping. Come on, yay! You know, I played that because I was just thinking when he says, Spartans, prepare for glory. It should be Christians, prepare for glory, because that's where we're heading. You know, you're heading for a glorious place. You're heading for actual glory, brothers and sisters, if you know Jesus. No matter what is going on in your life right now, if you love God and you know you've been called according to his purpose, then you are heading for glory. There is a future glory, brothers and sisters, and it's absolutely ours for the taking. Did you like their bodies? They're a little bit like, my body, but no, they're a bit like the bodies that we're going to get. Have you ever thought of that? All the pain and the suffering you experience in your body from time to time, it's going to be gone in an instant when Jesus returns and gives you a new resurrection body. The healing that Ricky was talking about earlier won't be necessary anymore, because there won't be any more pain in our bodies. There won't be any more sickness or disease. Wow. Isn't it awesome that we're on this travelator of grace, this highway of holiness, heading for glory? It starts with being chosen, actually, heading to this glorification, heading to glory. Starts with this, starts with God. God has chosen us. If you're in this room today, God has chosen you. He's predestined you to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus. He's decided that you should be saved, not because of anything you've achieved or done, you understand? Not even because of your faith. No, because God has chosen what your life will be like, and he wants you to be conformed into the likeness of his son, Jesus. Is that awesome? Have you ever read Psalm 139? Anyone? We're just going to finish with this. Let me read to you part of one, Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16 says this. This is David, King David, speaking to God. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Wow. You know, God really does know the plan for your life, for our lives, but also for your life specifically. Maybe you're thinking today, God is miles away. God is miles away from us. That's not true, actually, for Christians. God is in the detail of your life. And God wants to use the detail of your life for his glory, so that you can share in the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you're with us this morning. Thank you, Lord God, that you decided a purpose for our lives long ago. Thank you, Lord, that you made us into the people that you want us to be. You chose us for this purpose, for such a time as this. You chose us, Lord. And I want to say to you this morning, if there's anyone in here this morning who hasn't asked Jesus to come into their lives, who isn't on this highway of holiness yet, who wants to be heading for glory no matter what happens in this life. If that's you, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, I'll give you an opportunity right now. If that's you, why don't you just raise your hand and say, I want in, Jesus. I want in, I want to be heading for glory. If that's you, just raise your hand quickly. Well done. You're not doing it for me, you're doing it to God. Saying, I want in. I want to give my life to you and start trusting you with my life. Well done. And maybe you're a Christian in here this morning and you need to repent of following your own will for your life. Maybe you've been trying to do things in your own strength. Well, God says something different actually. He says, when we are weak, then he is strong. Maybe you need to stop doing something that you're trying to make happen for yourself and just step on the travelator. Just trust God's will for your life, and all the hardships that might come to you are absolutely God's plan and God's will and God's purpose for changing you into the likeness of Jesus. So if that's you, why don't you come back to God tonight? This morning. If that's you, why don't you come forward? If you'd like to say, God, I want to realign my life with you, why don't you just come here to the front? Just quickly come now. Come to the front if you want to say, I'm sorry for following my own will, Lord. Let me follow your will now. Why don't you just come forward? Just quickly now. Maybe you've been fighting against God. Maybe you've been struggling in difficulties and circumstances, as we all do sometimes. God wants to say to you, as Moses said to the Israelites, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Why don't you come forward as well? Why don't you come and stand here and say to God, I'm sorry, Lord, for fighting against you. Please, help me to realize that this is your will for my life, that you are transforming me into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And then finally, you know, the best thing about being on this highway of holiness is, not only is it not our will and our work and our knowledge, but actually, it leads to joy, leads to real joy. You know that real joy you can't experience from having a nice meal or from having a nice car or from doing something fun. No, real joy actually comes only from God. If you need joy this morning that only comes from heaven, then why don't you come to the front as well? And we'd love to pray for you. If you've been down and depressed and in darkness and negativity, like Stuart was saying, why don't you come and let this negativity be lifted off now? Because I tell you what, you're heading for glory. You're heading for glory. We are heading for glory. Isaiah says this, only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They'll enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Wow. If you're experiencing sorrow and sighing right now, bless you. God is with you. God wants to lift your sorrows away right now. You don't have to wait until glorification, brothers and sisters. You can have joy right now. Who wants joy right now? Lord Jesus, we pray for each one of us standing here, me included. Fill us with your joy, Holy Spirit. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. Lead us in your way everlasting. You know, at the end of that Psalm 139, David said, says, lead us in the way everlasting. I pray for my brothers and sisters down here right now, and for me as well. You would lift all oppression, all negativity caused by hardships and difficulties in life. Lift them off, Lord. Restore to us your joy, the joy we first felt when we were saved and we realized our eternal destiny. Restore to us that joy this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just come, there's a few minutes left. Why don't you come and just be blessed by God? God's in the business of blessing us. He works all things for our good. Thank you, Lord.